told you you could sit down. I wonder sometimes if we would just, I think you're used to that, but it's amazing how crowds work. We're glad you're here this morning. We're entering that holiday time where people are going to be seeking to recognize the birth of Jesus Christ. And we know the scriptures don't really reveal to us the date on which Jesus is born, but it's certainly a good opportunity to invite friends and neighbors and relatives and associates who are looking for a place where they're going to honor and talk about the birth of Jesus, and we're certainly going to do that. Good Lord willing, this coming Sunday, we will talk about why he came and why we needed a Savior and what a great blessing it is, and invite every single person to become a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. So I hope that you'll pray about that and bring those that you can invite them. We want to welcome our visitors. We're very pleased that you're with us. We have a number, and I'd like to just encourage you, if you would, to stick around a few moments after services so we can greet you and get to know you. I know the burden's kind of on you to remember our names, but hopefully we can remember you and we invite you back. And if you're traveling, we want to pray that you have safe travels wherever you're going, whatever brought you away, brought you our way. And if you don't mind, fill out a welcome card there in the back of the bench in front of you and just leave it on the seat beside you. We'll collect them. And I promise you, we will not abuse the information. We're not going to turn you over to robocallers or anything like that. So we would just love to have that from you if you don't mind. There are a lot of things in life that happen to us that are unanticipated. Surprises, unexpected. They can ruin your day. I mean, they can change your day. You can have everything planned and scheduled and your priorities listed and go out there ready to go, and then something like this happens. You have a flat tire, and all of a sudden you have to alter everything in your schedule. Or maybe you hit a pothole. That's a pretty good one, wouldn't you say? That's kind of swallowed the whole car. That would change your day, wouldn't it? Those things kind of happen to us. I've had this one come up, the blue screen of death, where I've come in to do work and turn my computer on, or after working for a little while, realize that there's malware, I've got a virus. And I think maybe three times since I've been using a computer where I just had to spend not just a day, but several days to get everything straightened out and back where it was. And I mean, you know what it's like when these things come up. If we knew they were coming, we'd plan, wouldn't we? If we knew they were coming, we'd be prepared for them. But that's the problem with unexpected things. We've gotten a call where someone had just bought 5 laptops in our name in Phoenix, Arizona. They got a hold of our credit card. Thankfully, our credit card company was on the alert and contacted us immediately. We didn't have to plan for it, but I guarantee you, it ruins your day. You spend so much time trying to protect your credit and your ratings and to keep yourselves from being a victim of online crime. So that happens. Sometimes you're in a really good relationship, and all of a sudden the unexpected comes. Do you notice the unexpected? I mean, you know, it just, boy, if something hits you and you look over there and he's really more interested in her than in the gal there, those things will change your life. Sometimes, I just threw this in here for fun, sometimes you find people that look just like you. There's a place online where I go, I really enjoy. It's amazing how many people in the world, with all the billions, it makes sense that there's going to be somebody out there that looks like you. And they have on this site people that live all around the world, literally, that you would think, well, they're twins. It's just, it's incredible. This is one of my favorite. There's no doubt in the world that Rocky looks like that bell pepper. What do you say? I mean, things stun you. This is for humor. Your cat looks like Adolf Hitler. I would advise you get a different cat. And this. I hope that precious baby has changed, don't you? But wow, I mean, things come along and it shocks you. It's unanticipated. You're not ready for it. And then there are those serious things like the Dalai Lama. Well, there's Dalai and there's the Lama. And they kind of look alike. That looks like a chicken, but that's a cat on the left. Did you notice that? Takes a moment again. And then you get sick. We've got this virus going through the church. Seems like pretty much everyone's got the sniffles or is getting over the sniffles, and it gets kind of rough when it's the flu. It's serious. We've had a couple of our folks have to go to the ER because they were so sick. That'll interrupt your life, and then maybe there's even more serious. You have a heart attack or you suffer a stroke or something like that. Unanticipated. But let me tell you, there's one thing that should not be unanticipated. It's not pleasant. I guarantee you, you're not going to really say, boy, am I glad I got up and got to church today, because we're going to talk about death. Because it happens to us all. It's unavoidable, but there are people in the world who absolutely do not want to think about it, acknowledge the reality. But we are all going to die. The scriptures are very, very clear about this. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto us. Every one of us wants to die, and then after that comes the judgment. And folks, it's one of the greatest blessings in the world, because if you anticipate this, which we're here to do, then you're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared. There won't be fear. And certainly there will be confidence about being with God for eternity. But if you don't prepare, the foolishness of such a thing, it boggles the mind, and there are many who aren't. Since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and the Bible tells us that sin came into the world and death through sin, there are only two people we know of who got out of here alive. We have the story of Enoch, and there's not much. Genesis 5:24 says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I hope maybe we get a bigger explanation about that one day. I'm curious. Maybe we'll be walking through heaven, and some fellow come up and say, "Hello, I'm Enoch." Well, tell me, you know, exactly what happened. And then, of course, there's Elijah. I'm so grateful to have found this picture. When I was little, my mom had this big white book of Bible stories that she would read to us at night, and it had these, fabulous illustrations. Really astounding illustrations of David and Goliath. This one just captured my fancy. As a child, I would get it out and just look at it and look at it. So God called Elijah up, and he didn't have to die. But folks, for the rest of us, all the rest, everyone, they have either died or were on the way. It's going to happen. So how wise would it be if we really were prepared, if we really lived life with this in mind, because it's a serious thing. The psalmist said in Psalms 49, verse 10, "For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others." It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, smart, educated, uneducated. We are all going to face this. And the thing is, we don't know when. I received a call one night. Mom had a stroke. Her death was extended. She was in intensive care for 66 days. It was a very difficult, unpleasant time for us. Wasn't concerned about Mama's eternal destiny, but to lose her in that way, it was hard. Got another call. My brother had a heart attack. He died. There was no warning. Then, of course, Dad, he had an extended death. And you know, I found out every time this happens, it still feels unexpected. I mean, even though you're expecting it, you go, "Oh," because it's so final, it's so real. And brothers and sisters, it needs to be that way for us. Because then we will live with a principle that will help us to make right choices in this life and to follow Jesus Christ and to do what's right, because it's coming and we will be held accountable, and we just need to be ready. Montaigne said, "Only that person is prepared to live who is prepared to die." And I think that's pretty wise. What do you think? If you really are ready for death, bring it on. It doesn't matter because in Christ we have the victory. And so it makes a tremendous difference. Well, death is a cruel teacher. But it is a teacher nonetheless. And when death comes in our lives, we seek to deal with it in so many different ways. We maybe seek pleasure, entertainment, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, the story that goes out there in the world. I mean, we put everything into work, but eventually the reality of death sinks in. And we've lost someone that we care deeply about, that we love, that we miss, that it's rough, but when everything is said and done, we can all learn from these events and be encouraged, because when it happens, we can't afford to ignore the fact that that's for us. I think most funerals, when I am asked to officiate the funeral, that I try to make the point before everyone leaves that one day we're going to be gathered together and it will be you that will be laying in that casket, or that we'll be having the memorial service about, because this is going to happen. Now, of course, I want to cheat. I want to be alive when Jesus comes. It'd be all right with me. Would that be all right with you? It'd be wonderful, because there's going to be one generation that won't have to face this. But the likelihood of it being our generation, it's just as great as it has been for every generation that preceded us. Probably not going to happen. So it's a reality that we need to use. Satan certainly does not want us to think about this. Because if we're not convinced of this, if we don't understand this, then we're more prone to put our emphasis on the temporal things, on the things that in the weight of all eternity just simply aren't important. But if we don't recognize eternity in our lives, then folks, one day it's going to come and we're going to be feeling so foolish if we didn't live with this reality. That's why John wrote to us in 1 John 2:15 through 17, he said, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If any man loves the world," he says, number one problem is the love of the Father is not in him. And he teaches us. He says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the boastful or sinful pride of life, it's not from the Father. That's not from God. That's from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So you've got to live with this reality in mind, that it's going to happen, and keep this world and everything in it in its proper perspective. If it's going to be a detriment to you eternally, then you've got a motivation not to do it. If it's going to be something that will encourage you to live right because of eternity, then it is a blessing to us and not a curse. And of course, Jesus asked that famous question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? What will a man give for his soul? I heard a lesson, I referred to it a number of times since being here with you. It was about 5 minutes after death. And the lesson examined 5 minutes after death for those who go to heaven, but the scariest part was when he spent his time examining 5 minutes after death for those who don't. And what it would be like, and I remember one of the questions the preacher asked is, what do you think those people would give to come back and have one more chance? And how many of them do you think would turn down the chance? Once they have tasted the reality of hell, they would do anything to change it. Well, folks, we don't have that option. God has given us the message. We've got the gospel. We know this. And so it would be really wise if we listened and thought, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's why it's important for us to deal with this. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, the wise man said, funny verse, it's better to go to a house of mourning, or you could translate that to a funeral, than to go to the house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. So if you've got the opportunity to go to a funeral or to a party, a carefree, fun party, which one should you choose? Well, I'd probably want to go to a party. How about you? But the wise man said it'd be better if you went to the funeral, because that's the reality that we all face. And certainly, folks, we ought to face it. Death is a cruel teacher, but it is a teacher nonetheless. It is the destiny of everyone. We're not getting out of here alive unless the Lord Jesus comes first, which is good news. It's good to know what the reality is. And when we start thinking about that, we have these questions. How long am I going to live? You know, what happens to me after death? Is there a heaven? And if so, am I going there? Does God really exist? If so, is He pleased with me? Can I have that assurance? And we start dealing with some really important things. Agreed? This is what life is about. And Satan's doing his best to get this off of our mind and to get us to go in a different direction. Well, there are questions about death, so let's do some answers to death. First, I thought, you know, it's important to remember all this is based on a belief in God. And the Bible tells us, and referring to Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There's no one who does good. Notice God's description. I mean, if there's many, many things I don't want God to accuse me of or to define me by, and I think one term would be for God to look at me and say, you're a fool. I don't want to be a fool. But the fool says in his heart, doesn't say it out loud, just believes it. Now, there are many who say it out loud today, but there are many more who really believe it. They won't say it. They certainly haven't proven it. But nonetheless, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. Therefore, there's no accountability. He's not our creator. The promise of Jesus, the cross, everything had no purpose. That is a fool who turns away from the only avenue by which we could be saved. And that's what God is trying to get us to understand. God is real. These things are real. Death is real. And to try and deny Him and to escape this reality by just simply refusing to believe, it's not going to work. Even the devils believe. Satan doesn't want us to think about it. But the Bible says in James 2:19, the demons believe and tremble. They know. They have no hope. There's no salvation for them. They rejected it. But folks, we have hope if we are believing and accepting of the fact that God is. Titus tells us there's a whole bunch of folks out there, and I guess this verse describes them, they're practical atheists. They don't go around with a big banner and say, I'm an atheist, but Titus says they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him. And here's God's description again. They're detestable, they're disobedient, and they're worthless for any good deed. And of course, he's referring back to the Old Testament passage. Be really smart if we believed. Be really wise if we prepared and lived every day. Could be today. I mean, honestly, could be, right? We've had people leave services and the next day, gone. I mean, it just, you don't know when. That's the thing, but we'll ignore it. And that's why we've got to be wise enough to understand this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it's only the fool who would do such a thing. Psalms 18:30 says, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. What God's word said is true. If there's ever a book that's been tested, tried, challenged, skeptics, atheists, they've gone after it, and the Bible continues to come through and prove its trustworthiness, and its truthfulness, it is the Word of God. It has been tried. And if we rely on it, eternal life is our hope. And if we don't, then folks, the other is a reality. Who should we fear? The Bible says, fear the one who can throw body and soul into hell. Of course, he's talking about God. I'm referring to Jesus' statement in Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Remember in Jimmy Allen's classes that oftentimes he would challenge us. He would say, if a group of stormtroopers or military officials or police came into the room today and said, deny Jesus or I'm going to blow your brains out. Allen said, you know, that would be a really easy choice to make. But you know what's hard? It is to have a life. A long life. And every day of that life to be challenged to live for Jesus Christ. That, folks, is a challenge. But if you say deny Jesus or die, shoot away. I mean, just shoot away. It's over. It's done. Here we go, heaven bound. But the other? It's just the wisdom that we need to live life and to be assured through life. We need to fear God, even if people make fun of us, even if they make fun of our commitment, if they challenge us. That's not going to change our eternity if we live with the fear of God. Remember, the big beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, because it teaches us how to truly live and what really counts. So, unless we're of this generation that is alive when Jesus comes, this is the reality that we face. And the scripture says after this reality happens, is going to come judgment. Everybody who's going to die is going to face judgment. Everybody. No one will escape. No one's going to get away. No one's going to hide in the corner, and God's going to overlook us. We're all going to stand before Him. Hebrews 9:27, we've already said it. It's appointed for us once to die. Then comes judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, this is from God's Words translation, and I really like it. All of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or the evil they've done while living in their bodies. There's going to be a judgment. We're going to be held accountable. That's such a good rule to keep in mind as we live. Because one day this is going to become a reality and we will not be able to escape. In your life when you were little, did you long to be old? You remember? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a bigger kid. When I was a bigger kid, I wanted to be a teenager. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a man, you know. And you had all these questions, you know. Will I ever get out of elementary school? You know, will I ever get out of junior high or high school? And lo and behold, I made it out of elementary school. I made it out of junior high, middle school. I made it out of high school. I even got through college. I got degrees. Isn't that cool? Don't mean to brag. You know, but don't you remember? Who are you going to marry? Well, I was standing in front of the congregation when Carla walked down the aisle of the East Side Church of Christ, Searcy, Arkansas, and we got married. You know, we're approaching that 50th anniversary. Wow. Just wow. Where'd it go? Pow! It's gone. But you look, will we ever have kids? Had three. Will we ever have grandkids? Got more. I can't count them. You know, are we blessed? Absolutely. Okay, will I ever finish working and retire? There's many who've experienced that. All of these things are there. We've been there. These great events in life. But let me tell you, the greatest event that we will ever experience is when we are standing before the throne of Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, and He calls out and He says, Richard Allen Magoo, front and center. And there's going to be no one else but me and no one else but you. You talk about a reality, something we should be prepared for. The scriptures teach us if we're following Jesus, that moment will have no fear for us. The scriptures say if we're not, the shoe's going to be on the other foot. Wouldn't it be wise to live with this reality every day? You say, well, it depresses me. It shouldn't. It's going to happen. When? Don't know. How? Don't know. My prayer for years has been, Lord, let me fall asleep and wake up in heaven. That's what I'd like to do. Everybody would. But keep reading these surveys and they say somewhere between 3% and 5% of us get to do that one. So what happens to the rest of us? We don't go out very well. Ouch. But we're going to go. We're going to go. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Aren't you just so uplifted? But you can't beat this. We can't forget this. We cannot ignore this. This is what God gave us life for, to make up our minds, and that time is going to come. Ecclesiastes 2:16 says, for there's no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with a fool. Inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool alike die. Doesn't matter what you are, it's coming. So, let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Let's have an answer to this. The Bible says if our names are written in the book of life, we have eternal life. If our names are not found there, we'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That means heaven is real, and it also means hell is real. There are many people today that want to talk about heaven, but don't talk about hell. There are people today who tell you God's not going to send anybody to hell because He's a God of love, but the one who taught more about hell than any other in all the Bible is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And why did He go to the cross? Because heaven is real, and He wants us to be there, and because hell is real, and He doesn't want us to be there. And you can't just pick and choose. We've got one way or the other to go. Revelation chapter 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I know churches around us today that won't teach that. They deny it. But folks, they're not doing anybody any favors. As a matter of fact, they're perverting and twisting the truth of the Word of God. There's a heaven and there's a hell. We're going to spend eternity in one place or the other. Where are you going to go? Well, the great news is we can decide. We can choose. We've been given the right to make the choice. And so I'm encouraging all of us to make the right choice. Luke 10, verse 20, Jesus said to His disciples, nevertheless, they've cast out demons and done miracles. And Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Because when it's all said and done, that is the only thing that's going to count. The only thing. The only thing. The only thing. Where are you going to spend eternity? It's going to happen. Well, we have the right, the God-given, grace-filled, merciful right to decide what we're going to do. Revelation describes judgment. It says, and I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Now, if I've got this on right, there's going to be a book of deeds where there are records of everything that we've done. I think God has no need for a book. He knows it all. But nonetheless, this is for our benefit. There's going to be the Word of God, because Jesus says we're going to be judged by the Word. I think that's going to come up here in just a second. And then there's going to be the Book of Life. And what the Lord is going to do is He's going to look into the Word. He's going to look into the Book of Deeds and see if we listened to the Word, followed it, obeyed it. And then He'll look into the Book of Life. And He'll see our name written there if we have. And He won't if we haven't. So, is your name found written in the Book of Life? Is it there? If it is, isn't it great? Mine's there. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I'm sinless. Doesn't mean I'm taking for granted the grace of God. That's the great promise of the cross. We don't have to fear death. I mean, we've got passages coming up that teach us that. Jesus said, the one who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So this word is going to... We talked last week about how important it is to be in the Word. And here is just another reason. Because it's by the Word He will judge us. Did you obey Him or not? Is that being legalistic? No. I've never in anywhere in the Scriptures seen a place where God says, here's my commandments, now go do whatever you want. I've never seen where He says, here's my commandments, ignore them if you wish, I don't care. That's not the message. From the beginning to the end, He has placed upon us the responsibility to hear His Word, to understand it, and to obey it. And it's on that basis, folks, that, again, God's grace, certainly, that things are going to happen. Sin is the big problem. Satan induces us, tempts us with sin. And we think, well, we'll just do this and there'll be no consequences. But all sin does, the Bible says, is produce death. But God has offered us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's part of the motivation that we have. In Romans 6, He tells us the wages of sin is death. In Matthew 7, He tells us about the two ways, the straight and the narrow. Which one are most people going to choose to enter by? Not the straight and the narrow, but the broad that leads to destruction. That's kind of scary, isn't it? even if you know this is true, many are still going to make the decision to go down the broad way to destruction. That's just, folks, that's just sad. So, Jesus warns us. He's offered eternal life, and he's taught us on judgment there are going to be people who come to him expecting for everything to be fine, and it's not going to be, and this is important. Jesus said in Matthew 7, and you've heard it, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. There are going to be people on judgment day who say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus is going to turn to them and say, get away from me, you who break God's laws. And that's the clue. They would not obey God. It's just vitally important, folks, that we obey God because the scriptures emphasize it. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven are going to enter in. And there's so many people who choose not to do his will. Study with people, and we'll see the gospel laid out, what we need to do to be saved. And time again, people will say, well, I just don't think I should do that, or I just don't think that I ought to have to do that, or my preacher says I don't have to do it, or the church I go to says this, or my mom and dad says this, or the tradition I've been raised by says this, and they won't obey God. One of the big areas, the Bible teaches us baptism is part of the will of God for us. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, there's one body and one spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. And that one baptism is being buried in water with Christ. The word is baptizo. Just one reference, we've done this many times. It means to immerse, submerge, to make overwhelmed, that is to get fully wet. It's used in the New Testament only of the ordinance of Christian baptism. And people come across and say, all right, I see it, but I'm not going to do it. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Or I had them pour on me when I was a baby. And I don't mean to mock you or anything, but that's not what God commanded. And that's what I'm talking about. Did you obey God? There'll be people on judgment who are going to stand up and say, I did what you asked me to do. And Jesus is going to say, you did not obey. You did not. And it will cost them. It's following the traditions of men over the commandments of God. Mark 7, Jesus said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, their hearts far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. He said, you leave the commandments of God, hold to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. It's not going to work. It's got to be God's word. Okay, you're getting tired and I'm getting tired, so let's draw this to a close. One of the most awful things that we have to say is those who actually do the will of the Father will enter, and those who do not will not enter. And those who do not enter, the Bible teaches us they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will suffer eternal misery, eternal destruction, away from the Lord and from the presence of his glory. Paul tells us about the second coming of Jesus in 2 Thessalonians 1. He says the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And he says these are going to pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his mind. I think one of the saddest things in the world is going to be for someone to actually come into judgment, see God for the first and only time for all eternity, and then be condemned to hell and to darkness for the rest of eternity. What are they going to do with themselves? It's not necessary. It really isn't. Those who believe and obey the Lord, the scriptures teach us, have no need to fear death. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Belief and obedience go together. He's not just saying mentally assent, but those who believe and obey. We have been given the gift of eternal life. We sang it. We're on our way. Did we sing that? I'm on my way. Because that's the promise that God gave us. And we can sing that with confidence. Again, if we're being obedient to the Word of God, it's important that we do that. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 through 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Death is no longer our master. Jesus is. He's overcome death, and through him so will we. Whether he comes before we die or not, this is so crucial that we understand, and it shouldn't hold fear for us. What is waiting in the future, Romans 8 says, for you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. There shouldn't be fear. And if there is, it may well be that your conscience is saying, hey, you're not doing this right. And that may be the motivation that all of us need whenever that happens, to do whatever we need to do in order to get right. The Bible says those who die in the Lord are blessed. Precious verse, Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Blessed is the one who dies in the Lord. How do you get into the Lord? The Bible says that we need to believe the Word of God, repent of our sins, believe that Jesus is the Christ, make a confession of our faith. Remember, Philip taught the eunuch. He got into the chariot with him, began preaching from the scripture he was reading, preached unto him Jesus. And the Bible says as they went along their way, they came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to confess, and you need to be baptized, buried with Christ in water, where our sins are washed away, the Bible says, where we're saved, where we rise up to walk in newness of life, or we're baptized into Christ, into union with him, and on the blessings go. But those who have done that and then walk faithfully, folks, you're not gambling with your soul. You've done what God has asked. Those who want to test it and say, I don't think I have to do it, you're gambling. Look, you know me. I'm so far from perfect shouldn't even be in my vocabulary, okay? But folks, the Lord has saved me by his power and his grace and his sacrifice. And these promises are mine. And it's a wonderful way to live life. Do I fear death? I fear the experience. How will I die? Do I fear what's on the other side? No. Because Jesus has given me eternal life. He's promised that if I'm his sheep, I follow him, I hear his voice. He knows me. He says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. Doesn't mean you can't fall away, but there's the promise for us. Do you have that assurance this morning? How are you? I mean, man, don't forget, the day's coming. It's going to happen. Spurgeon, and we'll offer the invitation after this quote. Charles Spurgeon, very powerful preacher, a couple of centuries ago, incredible material he's left behind. He says, any kind of faith in Christ which does not change your life is the faith of devils and will take you where devils are, but will never take you to heaven. What do you think? Has it? And maybe if you say, well, not really, I'd suggest some heart searching would be well worth it. Because, folks, it's going to happen. One day he'll call your name. One day he'll call mine. And we will stand before him, our Creator, the one who created everything that exists. And we're going to give an answer to him. And the thing is, we don't have to fear that. We can be ready for it. Let me encourage you to live with this in your thoughts on a daily basis. Not to be morbid, but because, folks, this is the reality. And so many people in life ignore it. So let's stand and sing the invitation song. Like this little button says, don't be caught dead without Jesus. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? And if you don't have him, then we want to encourage you to come and to obey him while we sing the song of invitation.